All right, well, hello everyone, and welcome to the South Asian Sisters Speak podcast. My name is Sheetal. I am the other half of the team behind SAS. So up until now, you would have heard from Shirin, but I haven't done a podcast ever, so I thought I'd give it a go, and I'm really excited to do my first one. I'm joined today by a very good friend of mine and generally just an all-around awesome human being, Mariam Speaky. Thank you for being here today, Mariam.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Do you want to introduce yourself very quickly?
Yeah, so I'm Mariam Speaky. I've been living in London for 6 years. I'm Pakistani, but I was born and raised in Brunei, and this project has meant a lot that Shirin and Sheetal have started this, because a lot of great things here about, you know, a lot of us women who go through these challenges of coming from an Asian family but living in the Western society simultaneously or separately. So yeah, I'm really pleased to be here and talk about these things with you guys.
Cool, thank you. And to those of you listening who came to our first event back in March, Mariam is actually also one of our panelists there, so we're really excited to have her back with us today. So the topic that we're going to attempt to be tackling today is a huge one. We're going to be attempting to dismantle South Asian relationships, and particularly focusing on romantic ones. And Mariam and I have talked about this a lot, just generally, and so this could probably go on for a while. I'm going to try and keep it to half an hour, but this might warrant a part two, a part three, part zillion. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it all ends.
We do talk a lot. Yeah. Okay. So I thought a really interesting way to start this podcast would be to think about how South Asian relationships have been portrayed in popular culture. So very recently, actually, there's been a film released called The Big Sick, which some of you might have heard of or watched. If you haven't, I definitely recommend you go out to watch it. Mariam is actually the one who recommended it to me. So the story is the true story of Gumail Nanjiani, who is an actor in America who's born and raised in Pakistan, and the film follows the story of how he met and fell in love with his current wife, who is not Pakistani and not South Asian, and it just generally follows the journey he takes to pursue that relationship and the cultural issues and otherwise that he faces in doing so. So Mariam, I guess the first kind of question would be, so why did you recommend this film to me? What was it about it that stuck out to you in terms of, like, how did you relate to it? What was it about it that made you think, actually, yeah, this is something I connect with and I need to share with people?
I think what I really liked about the movie, apart from the fact that, you know, it was really funny and there were lots of social things in it as well, you know, it's little touches upon Islamophobia and just general immigrant life. But to focus more on like relationships, it just showed that, you know, him with his white girlfriend and him with his family, he's stuck somewhere in the middle, and it's really difficult to, you know, understand what your family is saying and their point of view, and also understand that other person's point of view and how they can't they can't bridge that gap, and to be the only one in that situation to be like, well, I know why she thinks that way, but I also know why my mom thinks that way, and I can't get them both to empathize with each other's positions because they're so ingrained and they're so informed by their backgrounds and their lives. But, you know, for me personally, growing up, you know, with a very, I grew up in Brunei, and you know, there was a very strong Muslim Pakistani community there, a very close-knit community there. And my parents are very conservative, very religious. But I went to an international school, which was very Western, which was very completely different backgrounds and completely different views and things. And so it's that what I related to most is that juxtaposition of growing up in both of these worlds and not being able to explain it to each other. Yeah. And that way, if you're in a relationship with someone, is so difficult because, like, how do you tell someone, I love you, but you're not going to understand my family? And how do you tell your family that I love you, but you're not going to understand this part of my life?
Yeah.
And that sort of affects, I think, daily life for both Asian men and women pursuing, you know, whatever they are in their life, whether it be a career which their parents don't understand or agree with, or a relationship that they don't understand or agree with. But especially with relationships, because, you know, matters of the heart, they just complicate things more, unfortunately.
Damn it.
What a cliche, but sometimes really true. So yeah, I think in a very big nutshell, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, and so do you think that's quite a realistic portrayal then of how South Asians, of this generation anyway, who live maybe in the West or have, you know, quite mm-hmm. a lot of Western influence in their lives, are in at the moment in that kind of juxtapositional, okay, that's not a word, in that kind
yeah.
of
yeah.
between a rock and a hard place, sort of, you know, not knowing which way to turn in terms of pursuing a relationship?
Yeah, oh, 100%, I think, you know, obviously you don't want to generalize things, but I think there are a lot of people who would relate with that specific position. You know, there are a lot of parents, you know, I know a lot of really close friends, you know, of Pakistani or Indian background, who are completely fine, whose parents are, you know, maybe not completely fine, but relatively, you know, fine with, you know, their choices, whether it be with their girlfriend or boyfriend, or like they want to marry, all these things. You know, there's a lot of families which are much more accepting of that and, you know, don't find as much of a problem. But I know that myself and a lot of people would be in a much more similar position to what's portrayed in the movie. That is, how do we do this?
Yeah.
How do we please everyone and no one understands what I'm going through? Like, because, you know, you love your family and you love who you're with, but so someone's got to make a sacrifice with you, for you, but everyone, you know, and then you can end up becoming the villain there. Because I think, you know, when in that part of the movie where, you know, they do break up because she finds all these pictures of like the women who he's, yeah, that scene.
Yeah.
Finds out that he's being set up on a lot of arranged marriages. Like, that's not surprising for a brown person
yeah.
to be like, yeah. look at all these pictures. Look at all these, you know, like marriage CVs are a thing.
Yeah.
It's very normal.
Yes.
And so that's, I don't tend to mention these things to like my white friends or non-Asian friends, because you're just like, I don't know how, this will not make sense to you. And I don't blame you for this not making sense to you, because you didn't grow up in
yeah.
knowing this.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I grew up in both worlds.
Yeah.
So it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. And I think, so for those of you listening who aren't necessarily from a South Asian background, or even if you haven't watched the film, or even if you have, I think there is a pivotal scene in that film that just, I think, sums up that whole expectation that there is from the elder generation in South Asian families. So this kind of, we're talking about sacrifice and all these things, which sound very dramatic and very kind of, you know, scary and life-changing. But in a lot of cases in South Asian families, when you're making a relationship decision, it can be like that. It can
it be is literally can be life-changing,
making
yeah.
one of those decisions. And yeah, there's a scene in the film, so massive spoiler alert, sorry guys. So obviously Kumail falls in love with someone who's not South Asian and pursues that relationship. And because of that, his parents disown him, and they don't want him to have anything to do with their family anymore. And then he decides to move away to a different city to pursue his career and relationship and things like that. And his dad comes up to him. And I always find it really interesting. So he says to him, you wanted to pursue comedy. We were like, yeah, whatever, do what you want. You know, you wanted to move cities. We're like, yeah, fine, you know, go explore, go enjoy yourself, whatever. The only thing that we asked of you is that you marry a good Pakistani girl. And I remember watching that, and that sentence just hit me, because it genuinely just to generalize, it does pretty much sum it up in the sense that, you know, you can have a certain job. And again, South Asians have this kind of stereotype that, oh, you need to be really successful, you need to be a doctor, la, 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 la. But at the end of the day, you actually need to get married
yeah.
and married to someone from the similar background to you, and, you know, of a relatively similar status. And that is the ultimate life goal, and that hasn't, like, it's something that has passed down through generations mm-hmm. and it is slowly changing, which is kind of the kind of divide we're kind of yeah. trying to dissect right now. But that line, I think, for our generation, for I guess millennials or whatever you want to call us, is still very prominent in how we think and how we go through our lives. And that really stuck out to me, because I was like, you know, yeah. especially as someone who's in her mid-20s, who's pretty successful in her career. Doing okay.
You're all right.
You know, I have an averagely good social life, and, you know, I'm enjoying myself. And it is like, actually, I couldn't have done all of this. Yet the fact that I'm unmarried and don't plan to be married anytime soon is a real kind of downer on me as a person and what my level of success is to my family.
Yeah.
So whereas to myself, I'm like, yeah, I've done pretty all right. You know, my LinkedIn looks okay. I have friends, that's good. But, you know, my, as you said, my marriage CV, ain't so pretty.
I mean, you only need one thing on that marriage CV.
To be fair, the worst thing about it, I didn't even have one. So, you know, all the, in such a bitch, and I'm, what is wrong with me? But I don't know. So it's, yeah, that line is very pivotal, I think. And I think that is why it is such an important film. There's not very many films in Hollywood, in Western cinema, that are centered around a South Asian character. Yeah. So kudos to you, Kumail, if you're probably not listening, for being brave enough to stand up and tell that story, because I think so many people can connect with that. And I think it was really great in that respect. But kind of moving on from that slightly, before, when Mariam recommended this film to me, I remember the first thing I said to her was like, but hasn't there been a really bad backlash about how it portrayed South Asian women and their reaction and their relationships, and their, you know, views on kind of who they want to be with and their choices? And she was like, yeah, but you still have to watch it because it's really important. And then I watched it and like, yeah, it is a really important film, as you just said, but totally get you on the South Asian women front. So again, to massively spoil this film for you, as mentioned previously, Kumail is introduced to lots of very, inverted commas, good Pakistani women who happen to drop by his house, fully kitted out.
Drop by, the chalwar kameez.
In chalwar kameez and carrying barfi. And their parents happen to be there too. And the famous phrase is, oh, they just happen to be dropping by.
Oh. Sumaya came, she's just dropping by.
Just dropping by. Look who happened to drop by. Anyway. And their role in that situation is, you know, as a potential future wife for Kumail. And every time they're forced to, you know, try and create funny conversation and be charming and be, you know, witty and clever. And there's the one character who, you know, tries to do magic to try and impress him. And he's obviously in love with someone else and so doesn't care regardless. But that is the only portrayal of a South Asian woman in that film, is that she is there to attempt to please a man that he'll want to marry her.
I think, yeah, that, and as well as the fact that it made it seem a bit like it was only the men, like the women in that movie seem to demonstrate the culture that we're battling against, as opposed to the fact that the women are very much as well having to battle this culture. So, you know, these were just like, and because it wasn't just one woman or two women, there were like three or four of them, and they're all just sort of sitting there smiling, happy, and being like, oh, I'm here to impress you because this is not complicated for me at all.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was a bit disheartening because you're just like, because it's like, I relate with it on so many points, but then it's like, but if I was cast in your movie, I'd be one of, you know, with no inner turmoil person there. And like, you know, some of them were just, they were used as plot devices, I felt. And that was unfortunate, especially because of just how much more difficult it can be as a woman in a South Asian family, because you have such higher standards in terms of like the fact that you represent piety and, you know, goodness and purity and all of these things. Whereas supposedly. And, you know, there's this really complicated, you know, we all know that there are some very, very difficult double standards to deal with in South Asian, well, in general, gender-wise, like the West is not exempt from double standards, but in South Asian communities, like all South Asian people are very aware of the double standards that exist. So it just felt like, you know, you kind of felt underrepresented in that sense.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you kind of feel like a plot device and you're representing the culture which is being fought against almost in a way, as opposed to another member of that culture who has those difficulties.
Yeah. So what I think, while that film is really stand out, definitely worth watching if you're South Asian, even if you're not South Asian, but for, as a South Asian woman, it was like, okay, there's still a lot more work to do, because I think that film in particular were just portrayed so two-dimensionally.
It's yeah.
It's like Kumail is allowed to have a choice as a character. This is not a criticism of your life, Kumail, again, if you're listening.
Yeah, thank you for doing the movie.
Thank you very much. He is allowed to be like, actually, I want to marry someone who's not South Asian, so bye. Whereas these women, it are almost portrayed as if their entire life is based on whether or not they can marry. And to be fair, that pressure is there. It's like, as I mentioned before, I can, you know, run the world and still be like unmarried and be like, oh, well, what are you doing with your life? We're still not achieving what you're meant to do in your role as a South Asian woman.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do everything and anything except that and still not be enough. So in that film, it kind of portrays that actually they are trying to achieve that one thing that makes a South Asian woman good, or what is she's expected
very
to be.
Underdeveloped.
Yeah. And to be fair, there's nothing wrong with that. There are South Asian women out there who will either really want to get married and do it, want to do it by that way, and that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of men and women.
And we'll want to.
We love that. Like, I've like, you know, people in my family who, and I think there's nothing wrong with arranged marriages at all. I think, you know, that I've seen very successful, like, I shouldn't even have to say that I've seen successful arranged marriages. That's like trying to justify something. It's like, of course, you've seen successful, what we call in Asian cultures, love marriages and arranged marriages. And you see unsuccessful ones. Like,
They're
just different ways to try and achieve the same thing in life.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely fine. And there are a lot of people, you know, who would, you know, they don't have the same necessarily, like, they do agree with, you know, this is how I should do things and that's how I shouldn't or whatnot. And that's absolutely fine. And I wish I could be that too. Like the number of times I wish I wanted exactly the same things in my life as my family wanted for me.
Yeah. I think it's also a weakness and a criticism of Western cinema. And I know we've still got so far to go. Like the fact that this film that we're talking about is changed, like it's something that we've made the focus of this podcast shows that it is quite rare and we still need to do a lot more in this. But if I try and think of a prominent South Asian woman in Western TV on screen or anything, the most famous one that would come to me would be Mindy Kaling. And she's amazing and she's hilarious and I absolutely love her. But if you look at her character in The Mindy Project, for example, she is Hindu and she does acknowledge that and she is Indian. But nothing about that, nothing about her culture affects her relationships or the way she lives her life or anything like that. And I'm slightly... like, I get concerned that cinema is so, what's the word, in terms of, I can't think of the word, it can't portray women as anything but either or. So it's like,
you're the traditional woman, either the girl who comes to Kumail's dinner to be arranged for marriage, or you're Mindy.
You're completely detached from yourself. So you either are fully embedded in your culture and you do exactly what it says because that's... you know, because you want to be the woman that your culture recognizes as good and be accepted by that and obviously have your family support you and be proud of you and all those things. And again, that's perfectly fine if that's something you want to do. And so is the opposite. If the opposite is that you don't want your culture to affect the way you live your life, that is also absolutely
fine. But still appreciate your culture and have that, like the way Mindy does in this show.
She does, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But like it doesn't...
And that's And to be fair, if you want to completely detach yourself from your culture, that's also fine.
Great.
But I think... What Mario and I kind of
we're stuck in the middle
is like women, like both of us and a lot of South Asian women that we know are not either of those women that are portrayed on TV or on screen. We are the one in the middle who, I guess, kind of like Kumail's character, but the female version who, as we mentioned before, has a lot more complications, which is, you know, I don't necessarily always want to do everything my culture says, but at the same time, I do want to respect it, and I don't really know which direction to go in now. And I think, I mean, that's something that's missing from talking about in popular culture, but moving away from that now, I guess, it's just something that's not even talked about enough in actual real society.
Yeah.
And I think...
because I think it's difficult for real society to wrap their heads around. Because like I feel like, you know, you when you mention these two people, like, you know, there's so many people I'm so close to in my family, like my cousins and stuff, where I can't really openly talk about this, even though I love them and they know me in ways, you know, a lot of people don't know me and, you know, can tell exactly how I'm going to react to things and everything, but I can't share this part of me because they'll just be like, are you crazy? Are you like, why do you want to do this? And this has got nothing to do with like, you know, I think people stereotype a lot of like, oh, you know, it's because they're from Pakistan. They're from a village in Pakistan or something like that. It's like, no, that's not the case at all. You know, these will be like, you know, family members who've lived in other, you know, who've lived in the West and are still telling me like, why are you talking like this? Don't say that. Yeah. That's dumb. You're going to like ruin everything for everyone. And at the same time, you can't really, I feel like on the other side of it, like on the Western side of it, whether it's like, you know, other Asian or non-white people with really, really super liberal, you know, don't have to have these issues, or white people, you kind of find it difficult to explain that as well, because it feels like you're allowing them to then dismiss your culture and giving them more opportunities to criticize your culture or justify their criticisms of their culture unintentionally. Because, you know, the other aspect of being in a Western society is that there is a lot of, you know, assumptions and stereotypes of your culture, and it's not fair because you're like, no, that's not how this works. But this one bit is really difficult. And then they're just like, yeah, you know, it's just so backward.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're not getting it. You're not getting it.
Yeah.
But then also don't understand why, you know, we want to like, we want to not do the things, but we also don't want to do things. And it's so difficult to explain that. And so there's that bit where they're just like, both sides don't understand. But then I also, what I really struggle with, sometimes with both Asian and non-Asian friends is that, is this really dismissive nature where it's like, oh no, but you know, it would all be end up being fine. You know, it will all end up being fine. Everyone will come around. And it's really, because I think what people sometimes don't realize, and which is why, you know, we seek these spaces to talk about, is that I'm not looking for you to tell me it's going to be okay. I'm just looking for a place to speak and say that I don't know, like I know it's not going to be okay. And I don't know what that looks like. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for a solution because there isn't one.
Yeah. And I think
everyone's life will play out differently. Yeah. There isn't a solution. So don't dismiss my concerns with a solution, which you don't know about because you're not in this position.
I think what you just said,
you don't
there,
have to think about relationships in that sense.
I think what you just said there in terms of like there isn't a solution is so true. I think it's really... I mean, anyone who's like watched really old school Bollywood films or whatever, and it's always the heroine who falls in love with the wrong guy. Like he's either from the wrong background or whatever. I don't know. And it's always portrayed as she has to make a choice between her family and the one she loves. And somehow at the end, it does work out.
Like
I'm thinking DDLJ right here, right now.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
You know, like one of my
going away friends, on a train and everyone's okay all of a sudden.
I'm thinking she meets him in Europe and they're both living. Actually, that's a perfect example.
Isn't it?
Amazing film. If anyone hasn't watched it.
It's okay. It's too long. The fighting scenes are weird.
It's one of the classics, Miriam.
It is.
But the concept being they're both Indian families who are living in England. They meet on a tour of Europe as a traveling student. But she's already arranged marriage to someone back in India. But they're in love, so he chases her. Father doesn't approve, but in the end they get together and he's like, fine, go live your life.
Yeah, he's like bleeding. because everyone has just beat him up.
Eventually, I know that fine. Film is like 20 something years old now. It's genuinely classic. I think it's the same age as me, but
a bit younger.
All right. But it's not that different from situations I've seen happening now, and that's what scares me. Is I've actually genuinely seen South Asian female friends of mine in situations where they fall in love with someone who they know their parents won't approve of. They know that, be it because he's from a different religion, different background, different culture, whatever the reason is. And they've had to make a decision between, do I go with this person? Do I stay with this person and, you know, try and make it work, you know, when they're in love with them and they know they can imagine their future together, at the risk of my parents actually not being in my life anymore. Or do I have to give him or her up because I'm, you know, my parents are important to me. And obviously, you know, you care about your parents. And I've seen friends in positions where they've had to make these decisions.
So stressful.
And they've actually had to, you're right, there is no solution. You have to, you kind of just ultimately have to go with what you think is more significant to you in your future. And that could be neither.
And some people manage to maybe resolve somehow or something, but
yeah,
it's just, you just don't know.
But you just wouldn't, don't know. You would not, you don't think understand. That in the 21st
and it's so anxiety inducing. Yeah.
You would not think that in the 21st century, like if DDLJ came up however many years ago and they resolved that, you'd think like, yeah, 20 years in the future in England, you know, where, you know, most, a lot of South Asians our age have been born in this country, if not grew up in this country, we'll have, you know, a lot of cultural influence in this, and obviously we mix with so many people from other cultures, other different types of, just generally, you'd think it'd be more common, and it is, but if that's still happening, no wonder it's affecting us so much, no wonder this,
yeah,
like, mental health issues massive amongst South Asian women of this age group, another thing that's not being spoken about, because South Asian,
and this is a
South
big, Asian, this is a big cause.
Mental health issues generally is just this not is a thing a that big goes cause together.
Of it, because
yeah,
you're having to just, you know, it's just, you're just in this unbelievably difficult position and been put in a really unfair choice to make. And the thing is, like, I mean, things like the big six sort of focuses on like a relationship which, you know, your parents would disapprove of. But like, sorry, I'm slightly changing the topic here, but there's also, I think, if we focus on women, there, we also, like, I think I especially speak for myself, like, from a Muslim background, that then you also deal with struggles with Muslim men, you know, the men who would fit your parents, the men who wouldn't, you know, I would love to meet the man who would tick all the boxes for my parents, right? Yeah. I would love to. But I feel like when I meet that man, even if I really like him, I'm not going to be good enough for him. Because I'm not going to tick all of his boxes. So it's just like, right, the person that my parents would want me to be with wouldn't want to be with me because of the way I am. And I don't tick all of those boxes. And it's just really frustrating because it's like, well, I accept you, but you might not then accept me, because there is, again, like a double standard of like, it's either the guy can go out and do a lot of things, but a woman is tainted so quickly. Like, you'll never hear of a tainted man in South Asia, will you? Whose reputation has been tainted. But a woman's reputation can be tainted oh so easily.
Yeah.
By the smallest things. Like, I've literally had like so many friends whose parents have stopped them from doing things which, you know, have actually no, you know, there's nothing inappropriate going on, but they're just like, this will affect your future because, you know, people will talk. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not doing anything wrong, people will talk and you know, your reputation will be tarnished and your life will be ruined.
Yeah.
And sometimes it sounds like they're exaggerating, but not always, because the system is there.
Yeah.
The gossiping and like the tarnished reputation, all of those things, they're there. A divorced woman, divorce in the South Asian community is just taboo anyways, whether you're a man or woman. But if you're a woman, it's so much worse because you've been touched. Like, you know, it's just so absurd. So, then you have to like, so you, if you have one person who accepts you as who you are, but then they might not be accepted by your family, then you have someone who would be accepted by your family but wouldn't accept you as you are.
Yeah. And I think
so it's just all sides.
I think your sort of tick boxing metaphor just sums it up. I think it is the fact that particularly the older generations of South Asians and our culture just in general just have this huge list of and this definition of what a South Asian woman looks like, and because of immigration, because of, I say Western influence in like inverted commas, but just other cultural influences generally, that is changing. So amongst other things, you know, they've had this ideal for thousands of years. Like, South Asian culture goes back thousands of years, and a South Asian woman is supposed to be all of these things, and now it's changing very, very quickly, you know, with technology, with so many other things that are influencing, you know, and empowering women to actually go after what they want, you know. Now, like, back in India a few years ago, if I was born in India, me going to uni probably wouldn't have been a thing, especially because my family's from a tiny little village, but I would have been married by now, probably would have had two kids, like, realistically.
I mean, there are people in my family who are my age and have two kids.
And when I go back to India and visit them, for them, the fact that I have a job at my age and I'm still single is astounding, you know? And they look at my dad like, wow, you give her a lot of freedom. And I'm like, to be fair, compared to some of my friends, I don't have much freedom. But I think to them, that's so big. And the fact that, you know, jobs and stuff is really important for anyone if you live in this country is a big thing already. Like, that's a huge leap from what South Asians have expected from women for so long. But the relationship thing, I think, is going to be a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
And it is already proving to be a lot more difficult to deal with, because ingrained in us is what, you know, as a collectivistic culture, South Asian families are very community based and very kind of, like you said, we talk about each other a lot, and we, you know, we judge people a lot,
and that's very community based as well.
We support each other a lot, and we connect a lot, which only means that there are more people who somehow have an influence or a voice or an opinion on you and the decisions you make in your life, which therefore naturally you grow up knowing what is expected of you. Like, to when my parents gave me the marriage talk, which was on my 24th birthday, which was great. It wasn't
happy
something,
birthday,
I know,
get married.
It was wonderful, something like that. It wasn't something I wasn't expecting.
Yeah,
it was like, oh yeah, tick, that was coming. And as soon as if I ever get married, there will be the "when are you having kids?" tick. And I know that happens in other cultures too. It's not like it's restricted to us.
Yeah,
but it's not something we've it's not something we were shocked by when it happens. And I think that's because we're so ingrained with what a South Asian woman looks like. But then you grow up being surrounded by and learning about all these other freedoms and like other ways of life that you can have, and like options which previous generations haven't had. And speaking to my mom and my grandma,
you don't want to
live
a tick box life.
No. And I think ultimately, coming down to it, I think that's where we're at now. Our generation is struggling with this, with the tick box life, or the tick box pressure, as we are calling it.
And it's so ironic, and
this sort of future that is kind of open to us, but not really. And unless we make a stand, which is like getting disowned by our families, which Kumail apparently did, but obviously the end of the story shows that he's all happy ever after anyway. So good for you, man. And you know,
glad that worked out for you.
And in rare cases, it does happen.
Yeah, it does.
But
often easier for men than it is for women, though.
Yeah,
can I just
definitely
put that out there?
But it's just, I think we're going to round it off very soon, just because we could go on forever, as we've demonstrated. I think the situation for relationships to South Asian women in this generation and in this context of having all these other influences, I think there is a lot more to be said for the effects on our mental health.
Yeah.
And I think it's very difficult 100%. To dig deeper into that, because, again, it's very hard for people to open up about those things, but it is that pressure and that expectation that's unspoken about from your family that leads us to be confused about how to define ourselves. Like, are we South Asian enough, or are we too Western, or
because everyone else seems to have an opinion.
Yeah, and even cinema, as we've said, like TV and cinema says you're either really good South Asian, who, you know, turns
like
up
people's
houses.
Simultaneously telling me that, oh, you're being too, your culture is bringing you down and stopping you from moving forward, whilst other people telling me, oh, you're too white and you don't care about your culture and your family.
And
you're just like, man.
At the moment, it just feels like we can't win.
And
like I said, when I've seen people having to make those properly heartbreaking, life-changing decisions, it does make you question everything. And I think, is there anything we can do? Like,
don't put our children through that same thing, and and honestly just be, what's that thing, I want to say torchbearer, but that's not the word,
trailblazer.
Same thing,
kind of, but
trailblazer
is
I think the only thing that we can do,
because I'm
and support the younger generation,
because to be fair, like, I don't think either of us know what our future in terms of, like,
at all.
Are we ever going to get married?
Expected to implode at some point. I don't know what it's going to look like, when it's going to happen.
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll see. We'll keep you updated.
It's a very interesting time. Like, I think if I was in my mum's generation, you knew what was expected of you and you just did it, because any other option was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was just not even,
it was natural.
Not even thought of. Whereas now it's like, maybe, but there is still that risk either way that you'd lose everything, everything that you know, everything that you love. And it sounds dramatic, but it is true. And it sits there in the back of your mind, and you carry it everywhere with you. And it's just, yeah, we definitely need another conversation about this at some point.
I need to recover from this one first, guys.
Yeah, it's getting emotional now. But like I said, very interesting time to be a South Asian woman. And attempt to be in a relationship.
Good luck.
So I think we're going to leave it there. But Mariam, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
A recording of mine and Mariam's normal conversation. So it wasn't really a podcast.
This is recording?
So this is just what we talk about all the time. For anyone listening, we'd really love to hear your opinions on this. Obviously, this is just mine and Mariam's experiences and based on what we've spoken to a lot of our friends about. But we know everyone's in different positions, but we'd love to hear from you and what you think about this. Do you think this is true for you, your friends, or your situation? Do you think things are changing? I'm particularly interested to hear if you have any thoughts about how South Asian women can tackle these relationship issues, if you have anything that you could suggest or that you've tried. I don't know. We'd love to hear from you. Our Twitter is @wear_sass, and you can always email us speak@wearsass.org. We'll be back next month with another podcast on something similarly interesting. Again, if you've got any ideas, please let us know. But thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.